Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From the Bloomberg Radio Newsroom, I'm Adrienne Mitchell. Steep losses on Wall Street minutes from the closing bell. The Dow down 231 points, more than 1% to 20,673. The Nasdaq down 103, nearly 2% losses there, 5798 the level. And the S&P 500 down 28 points, more than 1% at 2344, with bank stocks leading the way. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg Radio. The 10-year Treasury up 10/32 with a yield of 2.42. The two-year yield is 1.25%. NYMEX crude settled at $47.34 a barrel, down 88 cents, almost 2%. COMEX gold up $10.50, about 1% to $1,244.50 an ounce. The euro is at 108, the yen at 111.73. All 24 stocks in the KBW Bank Index are lower as investors look for signs that the president's plans to cut corporate taxes and boost spending will move forward following his meeting with House Republicans. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Carol and Corey.
Thank you very much. It's time for the ETF report, which is brought to you by BlackRock. Worried about market volatility? Well, minimum volatility strategies may be able to help. But to learn more, visit BlackRock.com, BlackRock.com/factors, prepared by BlackRock Investments, LLC.
Passive equity investments could become as much as 45% of the mutual fund industry within 5 years as investors move to low-cost funds such as ETFs. That's a word from Jack Bogle, the founder of Vanguard Group.
There's a very strong tide out there. And amazingly, I mean, the total index fund business was doing about $40 billion last year. And this year, $40 billion a month. And this year, in the first 2 months, it's something like $67 billion. That's a huge increase.
As money flows into ETFs and index funds, mutual fund ownership is declining. According to a research note from Goldman Sachs, mutual fund ownership of equities is at its lowest level in nearly 13 years, as ETFs become a bigger force in the stock market. Mutual funds sold a total of $117 billion in stock last year, while ETFs made $188 billion in net purchases. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
You're listening to Bloomberg Markets with Carol Messer and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
Tiny bubbles.
You knew he was going to go there, Corey Johnson. You just knew it.
For bad reason.
Our next guest, in fact, says asset bubbles are developing in markets. What kinds of bubbles? Let's find out. And let's get the details from Casey Matthews back with us. He's an economist and chief investment officer with UMB Bank. They've got roughly $8 billion or more than $8 billion in assets under management, and they are based in Kansas City, Missouri. And we find Casey in our Bloomberg 1130 studio this afternoon. Nice to have you back with us.
Good afternoon.
Asset bubbles of what kind?
Well, I think as markets and economies ebb and flow, you're going to have financial bubbles that come and go. So if we start talking about the stock market, I think there's a financial bubble developing. Beginning of the year, we were at 17.5 times earnings, forward earnings. Now we're at 18.5. The 25-year average is about 17. So you can see how you're getting an unsustainable price level, which is the definition of an asset bubble. But many times,
what if companies start to grow revenues, yes, and earnings, and they kind of grow into those valuations?
Exactly. Many times, like I said, these financial bubbles come and go. They don't all pop. Many times we don't know a financial bubble exists until it pops.
Yeah.
But as earnings catch up, which we expect to see in 2017, the financial bubble merely deflates.
So fake until they make it, and you think they're going to make it.
Nicely
well,
done.
Well, I don't know if I'd say fake it, Corey, but rather the market's going to discount that information immediately. And you have corporate earnings forecast, which is very favorable. We're coming off an earnings recession, 7 quarters of negative earnings growth. In the second half of 2016, finally, you started to see some stabilization and growth in the fourth quarter. And now we expect something like 12 to 15% earnings growth in 2017. So you're right. That all of a sudden will deflate that bubble that's developing.
Say that again. Is that a real number, 12 to 13% earnings growth?
I think so. Because again, 7 quarters of negative earnings growth.
And is that better earnings based on higher revenues, that these companies are making more money, they're selling more things, services or goods or whatever, and it's not a case of buying back stock or doing some other kind of financial engineering?
I think a little bit of both. Example is in the energy space. Clearly, with energy up 100% from a year ago,
right. You're
going to see revenue growth, but you have easy comps. In other industries, you're still looking at share repurchases and things like that, driving earnings per share. So a little bit of both. It's mixed. But I still think we're not at a valuation where the bubble's ready to pop. We're not at close to 30 times forward earnings like we saw in the late 90s. And we saw the tech bubble pop.
Well, I mean, that's the most extreme of all comparisons, though, right?
Correct.
I mean, you know, we've seen asset bubbles pop with much less extreme valuations, if they're going to pop from valuation at all. I mean, it seems to me that the thing that would change this, though, and I agree with you, is when the direction changes, not just the velocity of the direction. Right. It's like you know, you mentioned the comps are easy for oil and gas, and you can see 100% move in certain stocks when you're seeing a revenue growth go from shrinkage to growth. But you know, when growth moderates to single digits or worse on the top line, that could be great concern when you look at the valuations.
No doubt about it. I mean, we have to watching all those variables. We're not going to make a recommendation on just one variable. But clearly, when you know, last year, the market was not at bubble levels, attractive levels, and I think you saw an improving economic environment. You look at 2016, it was a tale of two halves, right? The first mm-hmm. half, you had anemic growth. In the second half, you had moderate economic growth, and I think you have some momentum in the economy. And then you overlay this this fiscal stimulus hope that right now the market is discounted immediately, but now we have to see the fiscal stimulus.
Casey, tell me about Kansas City, Missouri. And what's the economy like there?
Great barbecue.
And I know. Had some there. But just tell me about how people feel about their outlook. And not only consumer sentiment, but, you know, are you seeing building? Are you seeing, you know, businesses investing? What are you seeing?
Well, it's kind of funny because some of the anecdotal information that we get, we spend a lot of time talking to business owners and business executives, for the most part, in the Midwest. UMBs in 8 Midwest states.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, I ask them, is business good? Virtually all of them say yes. And it's interesting because we're coming off a 1.6% real GDP number, and business is good. When you ask them, how do you make business great? It's everything President Trump ran on. Lower taxes, a reduction in regulation, infrastructure spending. But there are, companies are ready to go. They feel good about business expectations. Mm-hmm. But right now, I believe they're sitting on their hands.
So if we don't get any of that,
right,
then what?
Well, I think there are two risks to the economy and to the markets. One is a Fed mistake, which I think is a low probability. Would the Fed keep raising rates in the face of a moderating economic environment and then cripple the economy? I don't believe that'll happen. I believe there's low probability. The other risk is what happens if fiscal stimulus doesn't happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's going to happen, but it could be a question of timing. What happens if we don't get tax reform until later in the year? And you think about it, I believe the market only has so much patience. You have to get something concrete on the docket before the August break.
Well, we see market tantrums before, Corey, that's for sure.
That's the question here is you know, are the expressed it's the saying one thing and doing something else, right? The saying we're going to cut taxes and do infrastructure and the focusing on military spending and cutting domestic programs in this budget suggests that those things that the market is counting on, that has discounted to happen in the near term, might not be a priority at all. We shall see. Great stuff. Casey Mathis, all the way from KC. Glad to have the Chief Investment Officer of UMB Bank. You've been listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio. We are racing to that close to see if we do indeed get a 1% decline in the S&P 500 for the first time in a long time. Just moments away for that close, so stick with us. This is Bloomberg.